This is Ronald Feldman. It's Friday, the 18th of June, and this is the final session in my series this summer. And the title, according to what I wrote down, is Creating Proverbs to Live By. Now, my work is always in progress. So something Jerry said the other day, Jerry Bongard, who's in this room, stimulated a change in how I want to do this. So I suppose the theme song is Patty Page's old song, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter. Basically, what I'd like us to do after initial relaxation exercise, in which we get in more active touch with our own higher power, is to write ourselves a letter giving us guidance on how we can live a life most in accordance with God's will for us in the next 5 years. I'll just follow that because that's a nice sort of piece of time. But starting from now, from this session. And some people are more obviously in transition than others. People have just finished college, for example, one of whom I know. But actually, there's no one who's not in transition. We're always in transition. This is always the first day of the rest of our lives, the beginning of our next 5 years. The one day that we're given to live at the moment. So, now the proverbial part of this, though, since the rubric of my work this week has been working with proverbs, will be related to the fact that proverbs were all originally created by someone. And in fact, a lot of quotations, when they lose connection with who originally said them, become proverbial. So Jack Kennedy's famous statement, ask not what your country can do for you, etc., that's a proverb. But we call it a quotation because it's still connected with his name. But if at some point in the future that statement gets disconnected with a person's name, it becomes proverbial. So in this case, actually, it would be an opportunity for us, after we write our letters, to summarize that letter in a proverb which gives us a piece of advice, as in, do this or don't do that or whatever it might be, some piece of advice for ourselves. And my recommendation there is we take that particular piece of advice, cut it out, and put it up on our refrigerators. Just have it there as a kind of aid to our memory. So let's start now by being relaxed. And everyone knows the difference between breathing up here and breathing the diaphragm. So just kind of sit relaxed with our legs uncrossed and our eyes closed usually helps. And then concentrate on breathing, where you can even put a hand if you want on your stomach. It's easier that way sometime. And just feel your stomach going in and out as you breathe. Bodies are like a capital city of a country, and in the capital city of a country, that's where you have the embassies of the different countries. And one of the embassies inside of us, inside our bodies, is the embassy of Almighty God or of heaven. So as we feel our stomachs going up and down, I would like us to go out of our houses and flag down a taxi cab and get in that cab and then take that taxi to God's embassy. Okay, we arrive at the embassy and we're greeted there. We get out of our taxi, someone opens the door for us. Turns out taxis are free today, which is nice. And we go inside the embassy and we have an appointment with the ambassador, who has a very special message for us. In fact, the ambassador will give us our orders. These particular orders are to be opened when we get back home. Taxi is waiting. Okay, we're driving back through the city now. Okay, we're home now. Taxi lets us out. And we go into our favorite room, the one where we like to read our favorite books. And we have our envelope. And we open up the envelope, and there on the page it says, "Dear," and then our name. "My orders to you, with which I give you the power by this letter to achieve, are as follows." Period. You may be surprised that the rest of this page is blank. But in fact, when you take up the pen, you will be able to write these orders for yourself. So just relax for another minute. Okay, if we come slowly back to this room. Now, my stationery, unfortunately, isn't nearly as nice as the stationery in the embassy. But it will do as a kind of a rough draft for this particular letter. And if you have your own paper, you can use that. And it would be appropriate to actually use one of those Bibles if you don't have something else hard to write on as your backdrop. You can double over the paper. And I have a couple extra pens if anybody needs a pen or some paper. You like some bigger paper or you want to use this one? Anybody else need paper?
I need paper.
Okay.
Paper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so just begin your letter, "Dear," your name. I'm going to go stir up another pen so I can write my letter before I forget it. And then write the letter that that you received at the embassy. It would make the invisible ink become visible. This letter will instruct you on your best sort of choices or things that you should be doing over the next few years or so. And then at the end of it, just to remind yourself, you can read back through the letter, just write a proverb or a saying, create one that summarizes what that advice or instruction or guidance is. And I'm going to go get a pen for myself. Just write freely, don't think about it. It should be a thinking letter, it should be a received letter. Don't worry about God's spelling or grammar. And remember to put a little proverb there at the end to get a proverb. See if we can wind up in about another minute. Well, while Stephanie's finishing, let me just say this is a talking stick. It comes from the beach at Aina Oahu, Hawaii, and actually has four mouths. This one, this one, this one, and this is my favorite, this is the biggest mouth, this one here. And so it empowers us, it gives us four times our normal power for speaking, and it also is so strong that it keeps everyone else quiet while we're speaking. So It's very useful in function, so I always take it to my workshops, and it works all kinds of wonders because it's full of Hawaiian magic. So, and maybe just before we share our letters, people might say their names, their first names, just so that we know our first names. And I'm Reynold. And
Stephanie.
Jerry.
Lars.
Catherine.
Nancy.
Okay, Lars. Okay, would anybody like to fly a kite, get on a stick? I mean, there are things like that, take a hike. Anybody like to get on the stick first here and start? Lars, you look like you're bursting forth in song there. How about? Just, yeah, if you feel comfortable with that.
The owner is happy and you are as follows. Firstly, you must take control over your life rather than letting others run it for you. Secondly, you must incorporate other people in your life and not alienate yourself from others, but rather involve them in your everyday life. Nobody can survive alone. Finally, you must learn to help others as you have been helped. Everybody needs help at some point in their life. And my proverb is, the many will help the one only as the one asks the many's help.
Oh, nice. Didn't know you were a proverb writer, did you, Lars? Good, well, you just pass the thank you and just pass the stick on. And after everyone's had a chance, we can talk in general about this. But if you like, Catherine? Jerry? Mm-hmm. Catherine? Ladies first.
Ladies first. Dear Catherine, in the next 2 or 3 years, I expect you to prepare yourself for a return to study. As you contemplate the next avenue of life, you need to be prepared for its direction. Thus, study is a way to prepare yourself. Your musical life, both instrumental and vocal, will continue to be a strength to you in these years of transition, and your choices of music to study and perform will itself help in its preparation for an avenue of study. Ensure that your reading, holidays, children, and family are also part of the growth and preparation. Recreation and physical preparedness are also an important aspect of this transitional period. Pursue that with zest. Maintain your urge to help educate your children with concern and care for others and the wonders of creation. Each of them have individual gifts abounding, and as a pair have much in common from which to draw. As a family unit, trust in each other's individuality, celebrate and our remaining time together and be a joyous company. And my father, she who enjoys private study, contemplation, and love must stretch to encompass a communion of husband and kids.
Hmm. It's interesting, sort of like Lars is a little bit there too, the one and the many. Cool. Nancy?
Dear Nancy, in the coming years, I would like for you to concentrate on enjoying and enriching relationships of family and friends. Let yourself have the freedom of time that this stage of life has given you and not get bogged down in the to-do and must-do thoughts and jobs. Allow time for grandchildren and children relationships, for walks, talks, and fun stuff. Remember to spend time with some of the lonely and lonesome people who touch your life. Along with these duties, allow a special measure of time for your husband. Stop being caught up in the do part of life and just be with each other. As for yourself, allow time to do the pleasurable, fun stuff, watching the birds, enjoying the flowers growing, watching the neighborhood children. Make the keep-in-touch phone calls and write the notes to friends. Keep your house, but don't let it keep you. In summary, Nancy, I'm saying this is a time in your life that you need to learn to take time to smell the roses.
It sounds like your proverb was right embedded in there. You had a proverb that next to last sentence. Could you read that just again, that one thing?
In summary, I'm saying this is a time in your life that you need to learn to take time to smell the roses.
Speak them softly. Be alive and free and listen to the sacred. The rest gets a little private here, so
okay.
It ends. And I don't understand the ending, but this is just what was there. Welcome the eagle and help the caged bird sing.
Welcome the eagle
uh-huh.
and help the caged bird sing.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know what that is, but that's what's there.
It's going to get a little long, so I'll try to read quickly.
Oh, we have time, really.
Dear Stephanie, I have watched you, I have guided you in the past. Now we must look to the future, the next 5 years. Stephanie, I would like you to grow, but to grow in a specific way. You are being prepared to lead and to love and to learn. You, my daughter, will be a pastor. Listen to the voices of those around you. Listen to the voices of those within. You have been chosen to work as an ambassador for me. You will teach others about me, even as you learn from others about me. Listen, Stephanie, listen. Studies are necessary, of course, and I never want you to doubt your ability to learn. Nor do I want you to take your studies without an intentional seriousness. Do not waste your formal education, Stephanie. Work diligently. But amidst your studies, do not ever forget me. Do not forget that I am spirit and transcend the books. Look for me in nature. Look for me in music and in art. Look for me in others. Serve, Stephanie. Do not withhold what I have given you to share with others and to help others with. You are not your own. Listen to me and I have and what I have given you to do and to be. You are special to me, and I want you to listen to me concerning who you are. This is very important because I know that you often listen to others. Listen to me, for I am your creator and my love for you is pure. My requests, my guidance will help you grow. Stephanie, will you be alone in doing this? Whoever is with you, seek to love them with increasing purity, increasing integrity. Do not be afraid to feel your love and to pursue and to nourish your love. Pray, Stephanie, never forget I am here, and most of all, never cease listening for the lessons of God. Then I wrote more. Yes, there is more, for I watched you even more closely here at Holden. Stephanie, do not be afraid to wake up and to listen to the new voices around you. Your past has value, but so does this newness. You need not hold on to previous judgments of your community. Walk into this new community for which you are created. Open and stretch. Feel the freedom. The law is dead. Awaken your spirit and grow not to meet an ideal, but to strengthen your muscles for dance. I ask you to dance, Stephanie, dance. Do not be afraid of the expanding horizon. Your eyes will adjust. I shall touch them and give you sight. My proverb was, listen to my call from the unknown and do not be afraid to follow.
Cool. Thanks, Stephanie. Well, he said, Dear Reynold, thank you for visiting my embassy today. I'm sorry you have a headache. It will go away after lunch. For now, though, here are some instructions for you to follow over the next few years. First, remember to do your morning prayers and evening thank yous. Living one day at a time will keep you relaxed and focused. Remember, I haven't let you down yet and don't intend to. Second, keep attending Al-Anon meetings and working the program. That is something I organize to help millions of people come closer to living in accordance with my will for them. Third, pursue the plan to get a half or two-thirds time job in addition to your teaching and consulting work. This will stabilize your sense of supporting yourself and your family. In fact, you will receive good news in this regard on your forthcoming trip to Colombia. Things are on the upswing with you, so don't worry and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. All things are prepared for you. With best wishes from your relatives and friends who are now here with me, love your higher power. P.S. Here's a proverb. In fact, here are two proverbs to help guide you. There is no place without me. My help is already with you. Amen and be well. G. Well, would anybody like to talk about what that experience was like for them? Any facet? Did you actually have any visualizations when you were going to the embassy or anything about that experience or just about the whole experience you'd like to share? We can do this without the stick, I think. We're all empowered now.
In my imagery, when I was thinking about walking to the room and this letter and opening it, I was trembling.
In my case, I was kind of surprised because where I was living as well as where this embassy was like in maybe North Africa or somewhere. It was like some place with like palm trees and like a tropical climate, and the architecture was sort of like white and like tropical desert type of architecture. So that was kind of interesting to me. It's kind of unexpected.
Yeah, the embassy for me was very easy to imagine, since I've been to the embassy in the last several years.
Right.
Yeah. So I think there's always lots of gates and openings and closings.
Right. I had that too. I had a big iron gate.
I also thought it's interesting that once you start to write, you have absolutely no idea. You know? And then once you start to write, you are amazed that you were thinking what you were thinking.
Right. Just kind of comes out of left field somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lars, did you have any reactions to the process or experiences?
It's interesting. It's just sort of there, without any effort or anything. It's just there.
Mm. Was that surprising for you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Huh.
Effortlessness.
Well, Jerry, you're an old hand at this kind of thing, but how was the experience for you? Was it?
I had some interesting things. The city was a busy, crowded one.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's because I hardly ever take taxi cabs anywhere unless it's a really
busy and crowded.
That's right. And when I first opened the letter, I was really wishing that it had something written on it instead of being blank.
Right.
That it was blank. So I had to write it myself.
Yeah.
Things can. I use my left hand just to try to tap into stuff that I might not be aware of.
Uh-huh.
And there were things there.
Huh. Yeah, Jerry uses this technique, which is, I didn't suggest it. I've never actually done it, and I don't like to suggest things I haven't necessarily done myself before. But it might be something to try if you haven't, if you do something like this on your own, and he could explain it more. But to try to write with your non-dominant hand, so if you're left-handed, you're right, or if you're right-handed with your left hand, and it taps into another part of your brain and perhaps also another part of yourself. Is that pretty much the idea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you, Nancy? Was this different for you, as we say in Minnesota? Or?
It was. In comparison to how the thoughts just come, not even thoughts, the words come. The only other time comparison, my husband and I some years ago went on a marriage encounter weekend, and you have your alone time for writing on that, and you have no idea what these thoughts are, and you start writing, and you end up, you've written 3 or 4 pages to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of flows after you start.
Hmm. Well, this is sort of putting into practice what we're really instructed in religion. I mean, what's sort of there already, because, you know, lo, I'm with you even to the end of the close of the age and things like that, or the kingdom of heaven is within, all these things that we hear every Sunday or at church or we read in the Bible. And sometimes it strikes me that it's like an unreconstituted form. It's like powdered milk, but our job is to kind of add the water and stir and then drink it. But if it's just in its powder form, you can't drink powder. And I think that that's where we have to, I mean, it's the issue of how do we put our religion or our spirituality into practice on a daily basis. I mean, that's why for me, I go to church regularly. But I find I happen to have the good fortune, it sounds weird to say this, but I have an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, in my close family. And so that propelled me to get into the Al-Anon program, which is the program, as probably most of you know, for friends or family of alcoholics, whether recovering or not. And the program is a God-based program in which we turn our will over to God as we understand God, and by doing these 12 steps, we feel that this is a way of really putting into practice God's will for our life one day at a time. And for those people who are interested in Proverbs, it's interesting that the program does a lot with what they call mottos, but they're basically proverbs, like one day at a time, take it easy, let go and let God, progress, not perfection. In other words, you know, a lot of times we really beat ourselves up because we're going to say, I'm going to be the best student, or I'm never going to let God down, or I'm never going to do this, or I'm always going to do that. And we give ourselves these incredible standards. You know, it's like jumping 20 feet hurdles, and no one, you know, no Olympic star could possibly do this. So we set ourselves up for failure, and then we beat ourselves up with shame and guilt because we're such terrible people. And it just leads right down into the pit. So a lot of these little sayings or proverbs are meant to be just a little reminder. You know, do your part, God will do God's part. And, you know, a lot of times I think we really feel in our individualism in this culture like we have to do it all ourselves. So what you said, Lars, I mean, you know, we do have to stand on our own feet, and we have to say, this is me and this is other people. And Jean-Paul Sartre said, hell is other people, as you probably know, l'enfer et l'autrui, you know, they're the other folks. But at the same time, there's this kind of semi-permeable membrane, this kind of flow. There's this psychologist whose name I can never pronounce or spell, is about a yard long, who wrote this book called Flow. And the book is kind of hard to read because it's kind of convoluted Czechoslovakian English, whatever it is. But the basic idea is that we kind of go, I mean, basically put it in another proverb, we go with the flow. And that if we really are listening to the sacred, which is the theme of this particular summer at Holden Village, if we really sort of get those spiritual Q-tips working, you know, get them in either ear, and we can really listen to the sacred, then it begins to flow through us. And, I mean, God can even write us a letter. I mean, it's incredible. It sounds like blasphemy, practically. But what it really is, and Shakespeare said it in a different way, Shakespeare said in As You Like It, sermons in stones. I mean, you can just take a walk out here. You can just take a walk. You can see the butterflies. You can see Jerry's chrysalis t-shirt there with caterpillar. Maybe going to happen, something going to happen on the front and the back. You see the butterfly. But there's stuff out there. All of it are guidance. All of it is guidance from God. If we have the ears to see and the eyes to hear. So this was just a little exercise and one small way of doing this. And in the different sessions that I've attended since I've been here, different people in different ways, whether it's coming more sort of from an intellectual perspective or a counseling and guidance perspective or whatever the perspective is, these are all the different gifts and the different ways, and that we can kind of use this and maybe combine it with a little of that. And we have new things, just as what Stephanie was saying in her letter, you know, that the horizon gets bigger all the time, gets wider, and the possibilities of new people and new things that we've seen and heard just become part of our repertoire. And that's the blessing, that God's cornucopia is just always flowing, and all we have to do is sort of, it's like manna, all you have to do is just kind of go out and spread your apron. And something somebody told me, a theologian, which was very useful for me, and I'll just share this kind of in closing, unless someone has something else they'd like to say, but it's such a beautiful day, why strain and do the whole hour if we don't have to? It's a woman, she said, the interesting thing about manna is it fell only for one day. And it's like the food here, after we eat it, any leftovers get tossed out. So it's basically, the manna is for each day, and it falls fresh every day. And of course, as a 12-step person, I looked at that and I said, yes, one day at a time. But it's also, if you think about it, God's guidance is sort of step by step. You know, one time I had this feeling, I had this image about myself as being a car. Now, if a car doesn't move, it can't be steered, if it's kind of dead. But once the car starts to move, it can be steered, it can be accelerated, it can be slowed down. And so basically the way I thought about myself is, if I can become a car, then that's my part. God is the driver, or my higher power is the driver. And all I do is I just sort of say, okay, God, come in, drive me. Take me to where I'm supposed to go. I'm the vehicle, but you're the driver. So it's kind of open, be open, and then let God do the driving. And whenever I can really follow, and that's what I got in your session too. I mean, when I asked Jesus in the thing, the last session, we did a guided imagery too. We went in this airplane, you know, and stuff. It's really cool. And Jesus, and I asked, well, what have I done wrong in the last 5 years? And Jesus said, well, you didn't actually listen enough. And you didn't follow enough. So try to listen and follow more in the next period. It's very useful information. Because whenever I really listen and I really follow, it just what Lars says, it's just easy. It's so simple. It's like my life is very simple and I'm this complex person and my complexities keep getting in the way of the simplicities. So I guess it's like my function is like a rural simplification process. I just have to sort of get in the way of becoming really simple, really open, and just flowing, and then God's going to take care of it. And I've experienced enough of it to know that it's true. And for me, this was just one more example. It's stupid. Sit down, feel your stomach for 5 minutes, and then you write a letter to yourself from God. Give me a break. And yet it's so simple. And that's how I feel we need to become. Just simple folk. So anybody else have any last words of wisdom? I hope. Well, go in peace.